Good afternoon. Please introduce yourself and tell us what years you were National Suite President.
Hi, I'm Naomi McAfee. I was National Suite President in 1972 through 1974.
When did you first join SWE and what made you join?
Well, I joined SWE in 1961. And you're right about what made me join SWE. We hired another woman engineer who belonged to SWE and saw no reason why I shouldn't belong to SWE. So it didn't matter where I was. I got this story about how great SWE was, why I should join, and so forth. So after a while, in desperation, I just gave up and joined.
What was your first leadership role in SWE?
Well, I guess first leadership role was vice president of the Baltimore-Washington section in 1963.
What other leadership roles have you held in Baltimore-Washington and the other and SWE nationally?
Well, in Baltimore-Washington, I held every office except treasurer, and nationally, I held every office except treasurer.
So I see treasurer wasn't in your plan.
Treasurer wasn't in my plan, right.
So when did you first think about being president of National SWE, and what motivated you to try that?
Well, I was on the Council of Section Reps at the International Conference in 64, and then 65. And somebody named Alice Martin told me she thought that I was presidential material, which at that point in time I thought was kind of ridiculous. But Alice stayed with it, and so did Margaret Fox, who was a Baltimore-Washington member, that encouraged me to go on and stay with it. And so that's how it happened.
What did you do to prepare to become president?
There is nothing that you can do to prepare to become president of SWE. It doesn't matter what leadership roles you've had before. When you get into that office, it's unlike any that you'll ever be in.
When you were president of SWE, what was your position in your corporation?
I was a section manager at Westinghouse Electric Corp. And I was very fortunate. I had the complete backing of my immediate manager and completely up through the chain of command for the 2 years that I was there.
So when you say section manager, about how many people would have worked for you at that time?
35.
And did you receive any support from your employer?
My expenses were completely underwritten. They gave me the time off that I needed to do the job. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they encouraged it. So unlike a lot of other people who have been in this role, I didn't have to worry about where is the funding going to come from the trips that I had to take, or from the and where was the time going to be made for whatever was needed to do the job.
So what experiences would have prepared you to become SWE president?
What would have prepared me to become SWE president? I honestly don't know.
Okay, so what were some of the big national issues, and how did those affect women in engineering and SWE?
Well, in the early 70s, with the rolling down of the Vietnam conflict, there was a thing of where a lot of the industries were retracting. We were in a recession. Men were leaving the engineering profession because there was no jobs. As a result, young men were not going into college and majoring in engineering. With that, the college professors, having unfilled classrooms, went out and recruited the only source that was open, or the only other pool, which were women. And that's when the huge influx of women into engineering came. At the point when I went into became president, I think we had about 1% of the population in engineering schools as women. When I went out of office, we had 10%. So.
Quite a growth. Mm-hmm. So there was a big growth in the student membership and the number of student sections. How many student sections did you charter during your 2 years as president?
I think I chartered 17. So, and I remember that, and the other thing was that I presented every one of those charters. And they were from all over the country. And that tells you how much my employer backed what I was doing.
So what when you were SWE president, what sort of leadership or management issues did you encounter?
Well, the leadership issues you always face when you have a volunteer organization. You have those people who work very, very hard. There are others who try very, very hard. And then there are some who say, well, gee, I will do this, and nothing happens. So the question is, how can you gracefully get those people who are doing nothing to retire? And that is difficult.
So did you have any specific motivational approaches to people?
Not really. I guess one of the things I did was for those people who were doing a good job was to let them do their job and not get in their way. For the others, it was sort of like, why don't you look and see what they're doing and go do that.
So what was going on in the engineering community more broadly when you were SWE president and around that time?
Well, of course, at that point in time, as I say, all the engineering societies were having troubles. Men were dropping out. Women were coming in, but that was a four-year gap that you had to fill. And as a result, the engineering profession was being basically looked down on from the outside world because accountants could get jobs, lawyers could get jobs, doctors always had jobs, but engineers were sort of like there was just nothing there. So until that recession ended, it was very difficult. So the thing was to try to continue to motivate young people that it was a good field, it was a place where you really should be, and there was a lot of reward in it.
And how did SWE help to fill that gap or provide that motivation?
Well, for the student sections that were coming along, SWE provided a lot of help because they had counselors from the professional community that were on campus. They also had, hopefully, in each one of those universities, at least one professor, hopefully female, that would work with them. So the students began to see what was happening in the outside world, began to do some interacting and understand that there are other things to do besides just study.
Were there other big national issues going on when you were president? And what sort of impact would the national issues have on the SWE?
Well, one of the big national issues at that point in time was the Equal Rights Amendment, which Congress passed out in 1972 to the states to ratify. There was a big division within SWE as to whether we should endorse or stay away from it. And in fact, that division was almost big enough, it almost split the society because of the differing viewpoints. Some people were very concerned that if we endorsed it, we would lose our tax-exempt status. Well, endorsing had nothing to do with that. Others were saying, well, gee, we're not going to join those militants out there that are marching in the streets and doing all these strange things, when that wasn't the case at all. All we were doing was stating that, yes, indeed, this is a good thing, women should have equal rights, and we're for it. And in 1973, I think it was, that we actually passed a proclamation, our motion endorsing it. And that's all it did, was endorse it. Says, yep, we're for it. And that was it.
So in 1973, the states were still voting whether they would ratify the amendment or not.
Well,
did SWE's endorsement make any difference on a national scale?
Doubtful. In the first place, SWE was not active in that arena. Would have been considered lobbying, which we were not doing. We probably could have to a certain extent, but the fear was so great that nobody was willing to do that. Now, they did pass a vote that said that, we will not hold any future conventions in unratified states. That created another huge firestorm. And, well, firestorm is probably not a good word, but created another huge debate, especially since there were at least one convention, and possibly two, that had already been approved for unratified states. So they made an exception for those two.
So the year that you were president, where was the convention?
One was in Boston. I came into office in Boston. Then we went to San Francisco, And I think I went out of office in Dallas. So.
So to come to a more personal level of your memory of your years as president, what were the most memorable things to you about your years as president of the society?
Well, you said most memorable, so I don't have to restrict it to one.
No, as many as you want.
One of the most memorable was in 1973, we held the first, quote, Henniker Conference. That was a conference that we co-sponsored with the Engineers Joint Council. And it was called, I'm going to cheat, Career Guidance for Women in Engineering.
Go ahead and start the thought over again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one of the most memorable events was the holding the Henniker Conference. Now, the Henniker Conference was known as the Henniker Conference because that's where it was held, in Henniker, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. We co-sponsored that with the Engineers Joint Council. And the title was Career Guidance for Women Entering Engineering. And Nancy Fitzroy, who was the Achievement Award recipient that year, chaired that conference. And she went out and she got something like 50 female role models who came in and told their story to something like 50 students who attended. So it was a great way to communicate with the kids that were coming along, let them know that, gee, these old fogies were really real, and go back and talk about what was really happening in the community at their colleges.
And what year was that?
1973.
What other memorable things?
Well, we chartered the first, and I'm going to have to be careful how I say this, so let me try this.
Okay.
We chartered the first black school mm-hmm. during that year. It was North Carolina A&T mm-hmm. University.
Historically black colleges and universities. Yeah. HBCU is
yeah.
the
okay. okay, let me
so,
go.
So all right, start over again.
Okay. Well, another event was that we chartered our first historically black university as a student section that year. That was North Carolina A&T. And I remember one of the students saying that they weren't sure who was the proudest, me or them, because I thought it was a historic event. SWE had never made any outreach mm-hmm. to those colleges before, and it was nice that all of a sudden we were now moving across that line.
That sounds like a favorite memory. Do you have other favorite memories of your years as president?
There were many of them. It's hard to pick out which would have been the best, but those were two of the most significant.
Mm-hmm. What was your least favorite part about being the president?
Fighting the day-to-day battle just to keep the society solvent. Mm-hmm. Getting up every morning and wondering what we had to do to get money in to keep us from going out of business. Mm-hmm. Trying to set things up so that they would become financially responsible. The fiscal aspects of the job were really the toughest.
So what was your experience at your national convention? You had two as president and being president for 2 years.
Well, the conventions were always, after all the work was over, was a lot of fun. And at least the banquet at the end typically was a highlight. And you could recount all the strange things that had gone wrong that nobody knew about while all of this stuff was happening. Mm-hmm. It was a great time for camaraderie, getting to know new people, seeing new people come into the society, and becoming active in the society.
What would your message be to future SWE leaders based on your years as president and since then?
Well, SWE is a great place for any young woman to join. And it would be one of those things where if you're looking for ways to network, communicate, learn to have speaking skills, feel comfortable in front of an audience, it's a great place to be. But probably the most important things is particularly for graduates, people who are in the industrial environment, is the networking, where if something comes up, you can pick up the phone and call one of your friends and say, gee, I've got this going on. You have any suggestions about how I might work it better or what might be an improvement or something that I should do?
So after you were president for 2 years, how did you stay involved with SWE?
Well, for the next few years, it was one of those things. We had another controversial issue, and that was male membership in SWE. Mm-hmm. Now, it always struck me as very strange that you had a group of people who were working and screaming about being equal that refused equal treatment to somebody else. Now, we wanted to be equal in membership in all the professional societies. We wanted to have a student section on every campus, and yet we excluded males from our own organization. And there was a tremendous debate about allowing men to join SWE. And that happened in 1975, the year I went out of office. I think Carolyn Phillips was very happy that she had me on the side to do that. And we did that, and the society didn't go under. There wasn't a drove of men or a herd of men to come join the society, so all of the fears about them coming in and taking over never existed. Another thing that we did during that same time period was students. Students had become a huge portion of the society, and proportionally were about 2-to-1, maybe even 3-to-1, greater than the professional members. And yet they had no voice in any running of the council, of the society. So we did things like we voted to have student representation on the executive committee. Well, no, I guess it was student representation on the council of section reps. It never happened before. This was another place where, oh, they will come in, they will take over, they'll change everything. Didn't happen. They came in very orderly. They brought some very good ideas. It was great to see them actually join and give very professional advice to quote the old fogies.
How has SWE changed since you were president?
Well, hopefully SWE has changed to become financially responsible and solvent. It's grown. When I was president, went out of office as president, we had not quite 2,000 members. What's the membership today? 20,000? 21,000?
Over 20,000.
Yep. So there has to be a complete change in how you figure to govern it, how you organize for it, and how you run it. The thing about it was when I was president, I knew all the section presidents, which we called chairmen at that point in time, personally. I would dare say that president today doesn't have that luxury.
Do you have any other thoughts you'd like to share on your years as SWE president, your value to SWE, the value of SWE to you?
Well, it's hard to put a value on that. During my years as president, I met a lot of people. I made a lot of tremendously good contacts that helped me out professionally once I went out of office. The breadth of the people that are in it, the number of diverse professions, you know, all of the disciplines. My field was reliability engineering, and I was always seeing strange problems, but whenever that happened, there was also always somebody in SWE who was in those fields that I could call and they could give me advice. So it was one of the best things that ever happened.
I think on that note, I will say thank you for sharing your thoughts and your time. So Naomi, you were president of the society for 2 years. The current term now is 1 year. You have a president-elect year and then a year that you're actually the president of the society. What do you think the major differences are between the two approaches, strengths and weaknesses?
Well, actually, I think the ideal term for a president would be 18 months. I think it takes you 6 months to get in and figure out what's going on. Then you give 6 months to get things started and going. And then you should have 6 months to wind down and hand it off. I would think today, with all the stuff that's happening with the society and as big as it is, a one-year president really has a huge bunch on our plate, and it would be very, very difficult to handle.